I want to share today just some thoughts that the Lord gave me as I opened my eyes this morning and woke up. And if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. This is a very well-known portion of Scripture. John 5. I will say this, I still have one more which on my series on authority that I want to deal with, but I've not been around much this week to just prepare that. You know, the Lord gave me this word this morning. So I've not quite finished that series of teaching, and there's, I say, still one more lesson or so to go. But in John 5 we read these words, verse 1. It says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Amen. Now the verse of scripture I want to just share, I don't so much want to focus on the miracle that took place, the healing of this lame man. But I want to just take a thought found in verse 4. Now if you're using a modern translation of the Bible, you'll probably find you haven't got a verse 4. Because it's, but you may have a footnote at the bottom of your page or somewhere to say that in the older translation, older manuscripts, it says these words about the angel going down to the pool at a certain time and stirring it up. And whoever climbed into the water first, after the water was stirred, he was made well of whatever disease he had. There's a phrase found in that verse which I just want us to consider this morning. And it's this word, at a certain time. The angel came down at a certain time and stirred up the water. It's a moment of opportunity. And it says here that at this appointed season or at this opportune time, an angel of the Lord came down and stirred up the water in the pool. And the purpose for stirring that water was, in this case, was so that someone would receive a healing. Now, I don't know whether this was a daily occurrence, whether this was something that happened weekly, monthly, or whether it may have just been every few years. I'm guessing because there were people there waiting that it was something that was quite frequent. But they were waiting for this season when the angel came and stirred up the water. And what I want us to just consider this morning is how can we identify and respond to God's seasons? Your seasons are God's idea. We read in Genesis 1:14 that God built seasons into creation. And this came before the fall. You know, a lot of people say, well, seasons, God doesn't have seasons. You know, we talk about rainy season and we talk about, winter and summer. And You know, when we landed in Ghana on the Monday night, we were informed that the season, I think it's the Harmattan, had just finished. It's finished the day before we arrived. You know, that brought in dust and things from the Sahara and blew, and you know, it was a wind that blew down from the north bringing dust, and everywhere he said you couldn't see a thing in the city, you know, because everywhere was sort of dusty and cloudy. And but the day before we arrived, the wind changed, you know, brought in the warm weather. Yeah, the warm weather. It was a shock, I tell you. It wasn't a shock getting off the plane, it was a shock landing in Amsterdam on the way home. We left the 40 degrees. We stepped off the plane in Amsterdam. Then we got back to Norwich. I travelled with three layers on the way home on the train, coming back from Norwich. I had my shirt, my t-shirt, a jumper, my vesty jacket thing, and then I had a zip-up. It was cold. But there were seasons, and this season had changed. And God built seasons into creation right before the fall of man. In Genesis 1, let me read this verse to you. Genesis 1 verse 14. Says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and years. See, a lot of people don't like the season. They don't like the change in the season. None of us like it. We don't like going from hot to cold. We prefer it when we go from cold to hot. We don't like coming through the winter months. We don't like the snow and the ice and the fog and the cold. We like it when we start to see. And it was a joy just a couple of weeks ago, just before I left, to go out into the garden and see the aconite popping through and the snowdrops. You know, it won't be long before we've got the daffodils are out, and maybe they're already out in some places. You know, we like that type of season where we begin to see new growth. We all like the summer season when we can relax and enjoy the weather, if we get the good weather. You know, God built these seasons into creation so that we could enjoy them. You know, God's seasons, God's, when he moves in seasons. And he moves in seasons for a purpose. We think, well, this is a time of change that we're coming into. But this is a season in the Spirit. We need to identify God's seasons. We need to identify what God is doing. You know, the way the Spirit is moving. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus that. He says, look, he says, you can tell by the wind, he says, which way it's blowing. Unity. And seasons have purpose, according to Ecclesiastes. He says there's a time and a purpose for everything. You know, a season. They have purpose. And God doesn't do anything by accident. God always does things on purpose. God moves on purpose. You know, the Spirit moves on purpose. There's purpose in everything God does. And there's purpose to the seasons that God has. Now, I'm not talking about the four seasons that we know, like spring, summer, winter, autumn. You know, you can get a sense in the Spirit that God is doing something. You know, God spoke to us some time back in July 2009. And it's in the... we've got them in the bulletin. If you want to read them, the summary of the words that God spoke. He said that, you know, God is about to do something new. He's about to do something new. In other words, we're about to enter a new season in the things of God. And that's what God spoke to us back then. And I believe that, yes, God said that we were entering into that season, but I don't think we've fully come into what God has got in store for us yet. I believe that even this year we're going to see a little bit more of God unfolding that plan, unfolding that season to us, and showing us what He wants for us. You know, there's a purpose to this, but we need to identify what those seasons are. You know, in the scriptures, that same thought in the book of Isaiah 43, where in Isaiah 43, God says these words. He says, "Behold," He says, "I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" I will do a new thing. I want to just read that verse to you this morning from this translation. This is the New Living Translation. And it's just so refreshing. This is Isaiah 43, verse 18. And he says, "But forget all about that." Now, in that Bible, it says, "Don't remember the former things." Now, forget all about that. He says, "It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it?" Then he goes on to say that he'll make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home and create rivers for them in the desert. He says, look, he said, "I'm going to do something brand new. I'm going to move into a brand new season." He says, "Can't you see it?" You know, a lot of people don't identify the seasons of God or the things that God is, or the way God's moving. And if you can't identify what God is doing, we cannot respond to it. And that's what was happening in that little, around that poolside. There was people there, sick people, waiting for the right season. Waiting for the angel to come down and stir up the waters. Yes, they could identify the season because the waters would begin to bubble and begin to be stirred up. You know, we need, particularly in the things of the Spirit, to be able to identify what God is doing and what God is saying and the way God is leading His people. That's what He asks His people here. He says, forget all about what's gone before. That's nothing compared to what I am going to do. He says, "I'm about to do a brand new thing. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? Can't you see what God is doing?" God asks His people. He says, "Can't you see what I'm doing?" You know, Israel has failed to identify God's season. They failed. They hadn't realized that God was moving. God was doing something. And because they hadn't identified, they couldn't respond and couldn't follow God in the way that He was leading them. Just look what God went on to say here. He said, this is verse 20, Isaiah 43:20. He says, "The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the ostriches too, for giving them water. They thank me. They would honor God for the blessings." But in verse 22 he says, "But my dear people," he says, "you refuse to ask for my help. You have grown tired of me." He says, "You haven't called upon me, O Jacob. You have been weary of me, O Israel." You know, God's people didn't call on Him. They didn't identify His movings. They didn't identify His seasons. Because they didn't identify what He was doing, they couldn't respond. And he says, they've given up on God. They've grown weary of God. They quit on Him. "God, why have you done this? Why have you left us like this?" Yet they hadn't seen that God was moving. He said, "I'm going to do something really good. Something brand new. Something that's not, you've not seen the like of before. You know, in that word that God gave us back in July 2009, part of it said this is that not everybody would like it. Not everybody would embrace it. Not everybody would get in on what he was doing. Let me encourage you this morning that when God begins to move, you know, don't give up on God. Don't think, well, we didn't expect it to be quite like this, God. You know, begin to respond to him. See, look at the people at the poolside. They were where they're waiting for the moving of the waters. Now, if they got in too early, they didn't receive a healing. They missed God's timing. Because they had to wait for the waters to be stirred up. Now, around the poolside, it was the first person to get into the pool that got healed. See, and if they responded and they moved too late, they missed out on God's blessing. So we need to be sensitive to hear and to know the leading of God. We need to know what God's season is for, for the church, for our lives. Too often we try and move too early. We try and run before we can walk. And we miss out on God's timing because God says, no, not now's not the time. If we move too late, you know, we hang around and wait and say, well, I want to see what's happening first. And we might miss out on what God's doing. You know, this was the problem this young man had, this man had at the poolside. When Jesus addressed him, he says, Jesus, I haven't got anybody to help me get into the pool. He says, I struggle, I begin to move, he says, I'm not quick enough. Because before I can get anywhere near the water, somebody else has already got down in there before me. Don't move too late. There was a man in the Bible, quite a well-known man, his name was David. And he was facing a situation. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, you read these words, that the Philistines, you know who the Philistines were, you know their champion was Goliath, who David killed when he was just a young lad. You know, the Philistines hounded David. You know, they were enemies of God's people anyway. And they came up against him shortly after he'd become king. And David defeated them again. But while he was rejoicing in the victory, while they were celebrating what had happened, you know, that great defeat, the Philistines regrouped and came back. And it says here in 2 Samuel 5 at the end of the chapter, verse 22 says, the Philistines went up again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore David inquired of the Lord and he said, you shall not go up. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. Listen, it says, and it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And it says, and David did so. See, David was told to wait until the appointed season, until he could hear the sound of the marching in the treetops. And only then he was told, then he could move. As soon as he heard the spirit in the tops of the trees, as soon as he identified that season, he knew it was time to move. And God told him, says, when that happens, he says, advance quickly. You know, go quickly, don't delay, make haste. You know, there's a time to move. And we need to move at the right season. When God's moving, we need to make sure we're moving. As they were coming up out of Egypt, they followed the cloud, they followed the pillar of fire. Whenever that fire or that cloud moved, God's people had to move. They couldn't say, well, we'll stay here a day and the cloud will have a day's journey ahead of them. They had to move when the cloud moved. They had to stop when the cloud stopped. But we need to know what God's seasons are. We need to know the way God's moving, the times of the Spirit. And we need to make sure we move with Him. Just to wrap this up this morning, I want to just share one verse with you from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 10, and it's verse 5. It's a lovely little verse, and it says these words. It says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Well, you think, well, that's true anyway, isn't it? You know, when it's harvest time, you know, when the crops are ripe in the fields and they need to be brought in, that's when you need to go out and gather the harvest in. You gather in summer, you're wise. You gather when the crops are ready, you're wise. But if you're just going to sleep through harvest time, the Bible says it's like he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. You know, what farmer would sort of go on holiday and go and rest and put his feet up and sleep and take it easy when he's got crops in the field that need to be harvested? Well, his whole livelihood depends on those crops, so he's not going to do that. He needs to make sure these crops get to the market or get to the food processing factories, the places where he can, he needs to sell them, but he can't sell them until he's gathered them in. And it's the same in the things of God and the things of the Spirit. You know, when God moves, we need to be ready to move with Him. If we sleep during the season of God's moving, we're like a son that causes shame. We need to be sensitive to identify God's seasons in our life. We need to identify when God's moving in a service. You know, too often we can just quench God out, quench the Spirit in a service. You know, if God brings a season in the service. You know, we had it on the day the day we showed the film in the square in Accra. You know, there was such an anointing upon that gathering at that moment in time, at the moment the film ended, that it was right and proper to make that salvation appeal. That was God's appointed season on that day. Had we waited till the end of the crusade, a lot of water, you know, to give the appeal, because you know, the service went on after the film. You know, had they waited till the end of that night's meeting, which was, another couple of hours later, that season of opportunity would have passed by. You know, in services like this, you know, there's an opportunity. Sometimes the opportunity or the season, we don't use the word, so we use the word anointing in church today. The anointing comes upon a service, and it's right and proper, perhaps even at the beginning of the service where we pray for the sick, because God's presence and anointing is upon them. That if we wait till the end of the meeting and call people forward for prayer, that opportunity would have passed by. You know, there's a scripture in, I believe it's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And it says this here in I like this scripture. Luke 5:7 says, it happened on a certain day. There's that word certain there, that Greek word kairos. You know, this opportune moment. You know, this season. It happened on a particular day, a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And listen to these words. It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You know, that was God's moment, God's opportunity on that day, or 7, I think it is. It says that today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You know, today, that's God's appointed season for salvation. You know, we need to identify God's seasons in our life. We need to identify God's seasons in our church. We need to identify God's seasons in general, you know, in just our the way we conduct ourselves. And let's not sleep during harvest, but let's identify them and let's respond. Father, we're going to move with you. God, we're going to go with you. Now in our reading, that man got his healing anyway because Jesus ministered to him. But there were a lot of other people there. You know, Jesus met a lot of people in his ministry. Jesus went out of his way to meet people. You know, Jesus and his disciples went through a terrific storm. And the Bible tells us that when they got to the other side, all they did was just met one man. But that man was set free, delivered from an evil spirit, or a legion of spirits, a whole host of them. That was God's appointed season for that man. The woman at the well met with Jesus. That was God's appointed season for her. You know, God has appointed seasons. And I start off reading. In our reading today, those words. An angel went down at a certain time. When is God's certain time for you? Well, maybe it's right now. Just to get right with God, now is always the right time. Just to give your heart and life to God, now is always the right time. Don't miss God's seasons. Be sensitive. Know when God's ministering. Know when God's speaking. When God's leading. Identify them. You know, he asks these people. He says, can't you see it? Can't you see what I'm doing? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Doing something brand new. I'm moving in your life. Don't be blind so you can't see it. I mean, spiritually blind. But let's be open to what God's doing in our hearts and in our lives. We're going to pray right now. You know, I don't know what's going on in your heart and in your life at the moment. Only you do. Between you and God, you know what God's dealing with, what he's touching you and speaking to you about. Well, let me just encourage you as we come to prayer, you know, to respond to what God's saying, to move with him, to go with him. For some that might mean you need to make a decision for the very first time to follow Jesus and make him your Lord and your Savior. Now I did that when I was just 5 years old, just a young boy. And Jesus has never left me or let me down. He's never given up on me. I've done that many times. I've let God down. At times I think, well, maybe God doesn't care. But God's never been like that. God will always be with you. He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. And I made that decision when I was 5. Others made the decision when they were much later. You know, Brother Elvis, in the meeting, you know, his dad made that decision when he was an elderly man. That decision to follow Jesus and make Him Lord. It doesn't matter how old you are, young or old. This is God's opportune time. This is God's season for salvation today. God's season to get right with Him. And I want to pray with you. And ask anybody that wants prayer this morning. Wants to say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Anybody that wants prayer for any sickness in their bodies, and I'll be only too pleased to pray. You know, this is God's opportunity, God's season, you know, as He moves among us to bring healing and deliverance, and yes, salvation. But we need to make the response. We need to respond. We need to actually begin to move with Him. We don't get anywhere by standing still. We have to start moving. That's what He told God's people at the Red Sea. Yeah, God told Moses to stand still and to see the salvation of God. But then He told His people, He says, now He says, get moving. Get moving. He told Moses, tell them to get moving. They've got to move. We've got to make that response. We've got to come near to God. We've got to draw near to Him. Then He will draw near to us. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Let's just pray, shall we, this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we just give You thanks. We give You praise in the name of Jesus. Father, we just rejoice, Lord, in Your goodness. Lord, this morning, Lord, as we just, wait upon You, Lord, that we might know Your seasons, Lord. We might know Your movings, Lord. We might know, Lord, the way You're leading, Lord, the way You're directing. And Father, Lord, that we will just move with You, we pray. Father, Lord, when You call, Lord, that we will follow. Lord, where You lead, Lord. Lord, how You direct us. Lord, we're all facing different things in our lives, Lord. Lord, You know how to handle each one of us. So Father, we just pray, Lord, that You'll just make us sensitive, Lord, to, Lord, the seasons as they blow, Lord, across our lives. Lord, maybe things happen, Lord, and Lord, changes occur, Lord. Perhaps we don't like them, but Lord, if they are one of Your seasons, Father, just help us to embrace, Lord, what You're doing. So, Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.
God bless you all. God bless you all.
Bishop Prince, good to see you.
I missed you before you came. So how's your trip?
Ah, oh, great. Yeah, Bishop Prince, see you later. God bless you. Yeah, it was really good, Prince. Yeah. Bishop. Yeah, I was quite amazed. God bless you. God bless you. Did you pick up one of these?
No, we don't, because I actually work here.
Okay.
We live in Chatteris, and several times we go to church in Chatteris, but always we like to come and just see.
Yeah.
Because it's great, there's something, you know, the name of Jesus is lifted up.
Amen, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What was it? Oh, boys. Bless you.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. So you went to Kumasi?
Didn't go to Kumasi, no. We stayed in and around Accra. We were running a pastor's conference in Accra. We did a crusade in Jamestown. Crusade there. Then I say Sunday I was in Ossie, preaching in Ossie. So it was all around the coast.
Yeah.
And then we had, on the Monday, we had an event.
That's great.
And there's a little bit of me still there. Very welcome, yes.
Okay, nice to meet you.
Okay, well, yes, okay, God bless you. I had an experience on one of the days. Never happened to me before. But every single person I prayed for, straight away. What's your one bloke? He almost, I don't know how he happened, but he sort of lifted up off his feet and just shot back. He hit the concrete floor, you know.
And it didn't hurt him at all.
Yeah. I've never had that. I've had obviously a couple of people go, but everyone just lay hands on me, just straight out.
They didn't get this
perpetual. They wanted to come.
One every day.
You got that since you gave it to me. That woman works here. That came. The couple.
Yeah.
I don't know what she does here, but she says she works here in the week. But she's the friend with the children. In the nursery.
Children.
No,
seems to me.